From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. The General Election Supervisory Agency Bawaslu ensures openness in poll processes. Indonesia uses biodiesel B35 starting February 1, 2023. I'm Andi Ramdoni, now the news in details. The General Elections Supervisory Agency Bawaslu has asked the General Elections Commission KPU to ensure openness in election processes during all phases in the run-up to the 2024 general elections, Bawaslu Chairperson Rahmat Bagja said during a media discussion on the 2022 electoral supervisory performance and 2023 projections at the Bawaslu Media Center in Jakarta on Thursday. Openness in the election process would allow residents to observe KPU's implementation of every election phase and dispel all concerns regarding any delays. The Bawaslu head said that the KPU must also ensure openness in ongoing election processes, such as the registration of senator candidates for the Regional Representative Council, DPD, and electoral roll updates. The Indonesian Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources stated that the use of B35 biodiesel will be implemented starting February 1, 2023. The ministry, as quoted from its official network on Thursday, stated that the B35 is a mixture of palm oil-based biofuels, namely fatty acid methyl esters. The palm oil content is 35%, while the other 65% is diesel fuel. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources stated that the B35 program was a step in anticipating of soaring world oil prices and suppressing diesel imports. The Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has approved cooperation contracts for two oil and gas blocks in Aceh waters. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Arifin Tasrif witnessed the signing of the contracts for the offshore Northwest Aceh Molabo work area and the offshore Southwest Aceh Singkil work area. Director General of Oil and Gas at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Tutuka Aryaji, said in Jakarta on Thursday that the contracts cover exploration in the form of a GNG study, acquisition of three-dimensional seismic data covering an area of 500 square kilometers, and one exploration well with $15 million of total investment and a signature bonus of $50,000. Turkish authorities strongly condemn Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir's controversial visit to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Jerusalem this week. Ankara has called Ben-Gvir's visit provocative and has conveyed its concern to the Israeli authorities. The visit of Ben-Gvir to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on Tuesday, local time, sparked Palestinian anger and prompted the United Nations Security Council to hold a special meeting to discuss it. Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu told AFP Thursday, said Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir's provocative actions against Al-Aqsa Mosque are unacceptable. China and the Philippines said in a joint statement on Thursday that they have agreed to set up a direct communications channel between their foreign ministries on the South China Sea to handle disputes peacefully. The joint statement, which contained 14 agreements aimed at cooling security tensions and boosting economic cooperation, comes as both sides strive to mend a relationship hurt after the Philippines sought a 2016 arbitral ruling that invalidated China's expansive claims in the South China Sea. In the joint statement issued after Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. met Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing on Wednesday, both leaders reaffirmed that their countries would respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity. The United States has approved use of the world's first vaccine for honeybees. It was engineered to prevent fatalities from American fall brood disease, a bacterial condition known to weaken colonies by attacking bee larvae. The U.S. Department of Agriculture approved a conditional license for the vaccine this week, according to the biotech firm behind its development. Dalan Animal Health CEO Annette Kleiser said in a statement that the vaccine could serve a breakthrough in protecting honeybees. American fall brood disease poses a challenge for beekeepers as it is highly contagious and has no cure. The only treatment method requires burning the colony of infected bees along with the hives and equipment and treating nearby colonies with antibiotics. China on Thursday insisted that it had been transparent with the international community about its COVID-19 data as it hit back against World Health Organization criticism that its tally of virus deaths was understating the true scale of its outbreak. There is mounting international concern over China's steep rise in COVID-19 infections since Beijing abruptly lifted years of hardline restrictions last month, with hospitals and crematoriums quickly overwhelmed. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning told a press briefing hope the WHO Secretariat will uphold a scientific, objective, and just position and make efforts to play a positive role for the world's response to the pandemic challenge. That was news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today's commentary is on international community condemns Israeli minister's visit to Al-Aqsa Mosque. Last Tuesday, January the 3rd, Israel's newly appointed Minister of National Security, Itamar Ben-Gvir, visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, despite being warned that his action would cause an uproar and reap waves of condemnation from various countries around the world. He still visited the third holiest site in the world for Muslims. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in a statement last Thursday called on Israel to respect the status quo that had been mutually agreed upon and to avoid actions and provocations that harm holy places in Jerusalem. The Indonesian government views the Israel's minister's visit as a provocation that could trigger tension and a new cycle of violence in Palestine. Malaysia also strongly condemns the provocation by Itamar Ben-Gvir. Malaysia's foreign ministry on Thursday called the move a provocation and a clear violation of the political status quo of Jerusalem and Al-Haram al-Sharif. The Malaysian government calls on the international community to hold Israel accountable for such action and demands that it immediately stop any provocation for the sake of peace and stability. Pakistan is one of the countries that strongly criticized Itamar's Ben-Gvir visit. This action is considered insensitive and provocative. Pakistan's foreign ministry spokeswoman, Mumtaz Zahra Baloch, said Thursday that Israel must stop its illegal and respect the sanctity of Muslim religious sites in the occupied Palestine territories. Meanwhile, Qatar on Wednesday called on the international community to take firm action against Israeli provocations at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Jerusalem. In a statement, Qatar's cabinet reiterated its call to the international community for decisive and urgent action. It is to compel Israel to stop the violations and provocations and to realize the relevant resolutions of the UN Security Council and UN General Assembly. Even the United States, Israel's closest ally, also expressed deep concern over this latest development. U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price said Washington was deeply concerned by any unilateral action that could potentially exacerbate tension. Itamar Ben-Gvir is a figure who adheres to the right-wing views regarding Palestine. The politician also caused a wave of tension in the occupied city after he set up an office in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. It is hoped that the provocative action of Israel officials that led to an increased tension will not occur again. Thus, the two countries, Palestine and Israel, can continue the peace process based on the principles of a two-state solution and mutual respect according to internationally agreed parameters. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll begin today in history with the 6th of January 1912. New Mexico adopted as a U.S. state. New Mexico was recognized as a state of the United States of America on January the 6th, 1912. It is located in the southern part of the American territory. In 2008, the state has a population of almost 2 million people and has an area of over 315,000 square kilometers, with its capital city being Santa Fe. Turning to January the 6th, 1919, U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt died. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, died at the age of 60 in Oyster Bay, New York, USA, January the 6th, 1919. After his death, his name is used to name one of the U.S. aircraft carriers, USS Roosevelt. I'll end today in history with January the 6th, 1942. Pan American Airways serves routes around the world. Pan Am is known as a United States airline that operated from the 1930s to 1991. On January the 6th, 1942, the airline became the first commercial airline to fly a route around the Earth. Pan Am is the only airline to have operated 2 flights around the world with different routes. At the same time, this airline also travels around the North and South Poles. Pan Am declared bankruptcy in 1991. That was Today in History.
Of Indonesia.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Culinary of Juruh Sticky Rice Powder. Listener, there are some interesting tourism destinations where you can visit when you travel to Solo City, Central Java. For you who love nature tourism, Grojogan, Sewu Waterfall, or Lawu Park can be your option. If you like historical tours, the city is the heaven of history. There are the Surakarta Hadiningrat Palace, the Jolo Mando Sugar Factory, Sriwedari Park, Mangku Negaran Temple, and the Ngebrusan Ponten Solo. Besides a variety of interesting tourism objects that you can enjoy, Solo also has lots of delicious culinary specialties that you can try. One of them is sticky rice powder. This traditional snack is usually eaten as a breakfast menu. The sticky rice powder is made from sticky rice seasoned with pea, nut, or soybean powder as a topping. Besides, it is usually also added with grated coconut. Then, it is doused with a splash or juruh Javanese sugar syrup. This dish is also delicious to be eaten while it is still warm. The taste is a combination between sweet and savory. The taste and smell of the soy powder is so distinctive that the snack always makes anyone miss it after trying. Listener, for the people of Solo, sticky rice has a deep philosophical meaning. Sticky rice is a dish which is expected to strengthen human relations. This can be seen from the sticky rice, which is sticky, and it symbolizes the close relationship among people. For those of you who are interested in enjoying the sticky rice powder, you can find this special dish at traditional markets in Solo. Several sellers of nasi liwet in Bengawan City usually offer sticky rice powder at the same time. The price is from 2,000 until 5,000 rupiah per portion. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Alive, there's no death ever.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today has a topic: competing against 27 countries, medical students of Gajah Mada University become champion in South Korea. Listeners, another achievement inscribed once again by Indonesian student Rifkanisa Nurvaiza. The student of the Faculty of Medicine, Public Health and Nursing of Gajah Mada University obtained an achievement at Asian Medical Student Conference in South Korea. Along with her partners from the University of Indonesia and Samratulangi University, Rifkanisa Nurvaiza, a class of 2020 medical student, represented Indonesia to be the first winner of the science poster competition against 27 teams from other countries. The work entitled Breaking Through Barrier on Improving Balance and Gait in Parkinson's Disease, a systematic review and meta-analysis of virtual reality rehabilitation studies, the effectiveness of virtual reality telerehabilitation for Parkinson's patients. Based on the results of the analysis, Rifkanisa reveals that VR is proven to be able to improve motor function and balance in Parkinson's patients significantly. Rifkanisa stated that VR could be a breakthrough for the rehabilitation of Parkinson's patients because the rehabilitation can be done from home or tele-rehabilitation to minimize the risk of infection during the pandemic and other complications. She admitted being very grateful for her team's solidarity. The pace of idea brainstorming was intensely conducted as they wanted to bring an innovative and solutive idea to tackle the issue related to Indonesia and the global sphere. That's Miscellany.
Satu asa dan sejiwa. Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Yogyakarta entitled Koyo Jogja Istimewa. The song narrates the love of a man for a woman, which is described as the man loves his hometown, namely Yogyakarta, which is special because it is rich in cultures, arts, and tourism destinations. Here is Darboy Gang with the original song from Yogyakarta entitled Koyo Jogja Istimewa.
Koyo mangan lawuh sate senajan saanane sing penting kowe ngombe kembang tahu rasane koyo ngombe susu ra usah mecucu tresno kuro kowe ra bakal tak madu I'm penting ro kowe. Ngombe kembang tahu rasane koyo ngombe susu. Ra usah berjunjut tresno karo kowe, ra bakal tak metu.
Indonesia.
Harus
yanglah kita hadapi bersama. Beribu suka dan duka mewarnai cerita kita. Kilauan peluh dan air mata membakar api yang membara. Kita melangkah bersama mewujudkan mimpi menjadi nyata. Satu asa dan sejiwa tundukkan dunia. Menembus segala rintangan untuk menggapai gemilang di sana. Kilauan peluh dan air mata membakar api yang membara. Kita melangkah bersama mewujudkan mimpi menjadi nyata. Satu asa dan sejiwa untuk meraih cita tundukkan. Yanglah kita hadapi bersama. Beribu suka dan duka mewarnai cerita kita. Kilauan peluh dan air mata
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.